the 10,000-year-old lich is just sitting there in their throne, watching us banter back and forth, not noticing them.
Sitting there with its mouth open and its finger up like,
excuse me, excuse me.
I don't want to interrupt.
No, no, please, by all means, continue.
Button is pressed.
Okay. Hi, my name is Ellie, and it's Sunday night, so you know what that means. It means they got all the banter out of the way before I got here, so they're not saying anything. Mm-hmm. It couldn't be because they're being polite because I'm doing the intro, because that never happens.
Sorry.
A Monty Python crowd of extras yells, get on with it!
Tonight I'm here with Beth, Crash, and Io, and sadly couldn't make it tonight. They're dealing with being sick. And last time on Plus Ultra, our adventurers, Hugh, Tamilin, Steinen, and Delka, headed north with Tyke from Kalbsburg, following an invitation to meet another of the Felton's collaborators, the scholar-inventor Jakob. They met this Jakob, a tall, friendly Sky, in a house in Malowen, a riverside town where Tyke's association, the Guild of Unique Individuals Looking in Dungeons, had its headquarters. Jakob presented the group with a list of potential destinations, each with a mystery to unravel. And the group chose to head to the Southern Plains, ancestral homes of the Felta, and perhaps the site of an ancient, forgotten civilization known as the Tiktekel. Jakob and Tyke led the adventurers to a prepared teleportation circle outside of town and recited a brief incantation, and the group found themselves on the grassy plains outside Nawithafat, one of the great low-slung Felton trade cities of the northern half of the continent. I forgot that I'd given myself a pronunciation note for that. Another guild representative, Dillis, met them by the side of the nearby road and took them to the guild's depot just outside Nawithafat, where she supplied them for a few weeks and provided them with some spending cash, as well as giving them a map of the local area with a few sites of interest marked. The group chose to set off over the rolling plains to the southeast, toward a relatively small Giona encampment, where, rumor has it, they've found evidence of this lost civilization, and as we rejoin our friends, they've just arrived at the Giona town's outskirts. It's midsummer, and the plains, being as they are equatorial, are much warmer than the tundra was. Hugh is probably overheating a little, but the sultry climate suits the rest of the group just fine. The name of the place is Dabriel. This is Plus Ultra. Yes, there is gold on your character sheet.
There's gold in them, our character sheets. But they're digital sheets, so to get them, you have to use a data miner.
No. Crash.
We've had the discussion. We have a sound for that.
No. I need a fish smack sound.
Yes, that's what right. That is.
We've got people to talk to ask questions of, or we will.
You are at the edge of town, which is also the edge of town. Dabriel is much more mechanized than any town the adventurers have seen so far. The Giona seem to have never met a solution they couldn't over-engineer. It's set into a broad depression in the ground, perhaps a crater, although its windmills and a guard tower can be seen from quite a ways off, as well as what looks like a rudimentary cargo elevator. You can see the town is full of domed huts with slender rope lines with colorful flags strung between them. And off to one side, there's a very large blockade made of wooden metal set into the side of the depression with a door small enough that a human would have to duck to go through it. And it's a very active town. There are people in the streets. There are children running around. They all seem to be Giona.
Well, I suppose that we should ask someone to point us in the correct direction, or do we have it on the map? I've been sunbathing. My brain is lightly baked. Sprawled out all over the back of the cart.
Possibly on the front of the cart, too.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Long snake.
Long snake is long.
Yes, long snake is long.
That's a lot of moving parts.
Huh. Yeah.
You get my vision.
I do.
Are there smokestacks also, or is wind power the most evident source of locomotion?
You do see some chimneys here or there, but windmills are the primary source of...
Okay.
From what you can tell. the primary source of energy generation. There are probably half a dozen of them sticking up out above the lip of the crater.
It's neat that they had this crater to build everything in.
Hmm.
You don't suppose... No, no, I don't think they do that.
What, make their own crater?
Perhaps not intentionally, but I don't think wind power would do that.
Well, perhaps it's wind power now for a reason.
Hmm. And then we're all silent as Mildred Mabel Millicent III, our ox, slowly ponderously ambles towards the city, with the guards looking at us looking at the guards, but neither side wants to really shout, so we continue to wait as an ox moves, as an ox will.
You do seem to be expected. The guard waves you onto the cargo elevator.
Oh, good.
I'm not sure we can back out of this properly.
Presumably they've dealt with things that don't go backwards before, so...
It's not quite just an open platform on a rope, but it's not far from it. And it goes down the side of the depression. So, like, if you go in forwards, you will exit forwards.
With you saying it goes down the side of the depression and previously describing it as a crater, I'm now thinking of the cargo elevator being one of those elevators that goes at a 45 degree angle.
Mm-hmm. It is something of a funicular, yes.
Which means...
Oh, this is going to be fun.
If I was playing a character other than Hugh, I would be assuming that there'd be some type of boss battle destined to be on this elevator later on.
Oh, no.
But I am playing Hugh, so he doesn't know about boss battles.
That's probably good.
Routini or Ray.
Yeah, you're not going to need to. Hmm? You're not going to need to turn around.
All right.
Go in one side and out the other on the bottom. Yeah. Tamilin,
did you say until we fight the boss?
No, put on the parking brake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you hear Mildred go chirp chirp.
None of my cars chirp at the parking brake. They just turn a little light.
Yeah,
and that's not.
It's my car doesn't even turn on a light.
My car has a proper parking brake. It has a lever.
As does mine.
Because she's old.
It wasn't a good joke.
We do not have chirping oxen.
We do not have chirping oxen. Only if I hit the alarm, which I have one of those. It's a cipher. Motion sensor. I could, in fact. Everyone looks to the window to see whose ox is mooing. Oh, it's mine.
Step away from the cart. This cart is protected by Viper.
Yes.
There's little Giona kids running around smacking all the carts to see which ones will make the oxen moo.
The platform is attached to the structural elements on the four sides via metal rods at an angle so that it stays stable as it goes down. But it still does the little squeaky, 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 squeaky thing as you get lowered.
Of course it does.
A minute or two later, you're at the base of the depression, and there are a couple Giona standing there waiting to greet you.
Hello. Wave, wave.
Hello. One of them steps forward and extends a hand, which is not something you've known Giona to do, but they're in Felta territory, so.
I'll shake it.
He shakes back. My name is Branimir. Welcome to Dubriel. You are here from the guild, right?
That's us.
We have been told to expect you. We have dwellings, if you would like to put your belongings into one. And we have a place where you can put your cow.
That sounds like a good idea. Thank you.
Yes, much appreciated.
Very well. He will lead you over to one of the domed huts, which apparently is yours to occupy, although it seems a bit small.
Let me know
when you are ready to stow your cow, and I will take you there.
Is the hut cooler on the inside?
The hut, as it turns out, is an entryway. There is a staircase leading down into a much larger dwelling that seems... It's not the same style as the hut.
It's a facade.
It's very like, indeed, a Potemkin hut. Did I have that name right? Potemkin?
Probably not.
The fake villages that the Soviets would put up to fool inspections. No, the dwelling below is larger and has several rooms. And is mostly built of metal.
Fascinating. Most fascinating. Tamilin is going to just check around to see if there's, like, locks on doors or anything. You know, not that she is going to necessarily assume there's a theft problem in the city, but if there's kids in the city, you know, they get into things.
Yeah. There is a bar that you can put over the main door, and it looks like there are probably latches on the doors underground, but it's not immediately obvious how they work. It is cooler inside.
Okay.
Nicely underground.
Yes. Temperature is quite stable.
Tamila is going to inquire, if one wishes to place belongings in here, is there a way to restrict access to the belongings so that young children or some such do not
go exploring?
Oh, yes. Branimir will show you how it's essentially a combination lock.
Ah!
We forget to lock it. We come back. Hooligans have made rubbings of all of the walls.
You never know. Ingenious.
Milan says yes. Hooligans.
I assume that the walls are not sufficiently interesting in texture as to attract her rubbings hobby.
No, it looks like these might once have been, to give the players an idea, it looks like these might once have been offices or small storerooms.
Makes sense.
Main thing is, it's cooler.
Yes.
Hugh, being from the north, is very much like, imagine if you will, someone from Pennsylvania visiting Florida in July.
I'm drawing from personal
experience. Yes, palm trees are very pretty. Where's the air conditioning?
Yes. And Hugh was worried that the dwelling, as it was referred to, would be warmer on the inside, not unlike an oven. So understanding this, he's not going to say, well, I'll just stay with the cart, because he could sleep under the cart and at least be in some shade with a breeze.
Right.
But he is certainly ready to take the cart and Mildred to where they are saying he can leave Mildred for the night.
Okay. Yeah, he takes you to a little pasture, and there's a storage area for the cart.
Presumably there's shade for the cow as well.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a couple baobab trees that the cows... There is existing livestock, but it's mostly goats. Some of the goats are in the trees.
That's goats for you.
There's plenty of shade.
And presumably plenty of water as well, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, well...
Yes, there's plenty of water.
With the assurances that Mildred will have all the comforts that Mildred desires, which isn't a whole lot, but still, Hugh will basically take his backpack full of things and go back to the dwelling. It's neat that it looks bigger on the inside. It's kind of dazzling. A dazzling dwelling.
I mean, well, maybe Giona are known for that. Sorry, I will stop making
reference
to other campaigns now.
I started it, and I refuse to stop.
Branimir will actually take you on a short tour of the town.
Oh, useful.
It's not, you know, and here's a workshop, and here's another workshop, and yet a third workshop. We have many workshops.
I am not going to ask the GM to let me know everything I see at this point, but let it be known that Hugh is in fact scanning, because I can scan for free, everything that we look at.
About as many workshops as we have forges, I'd wager.
Probably about right.
The wind, Cat, gives you much power, doesn't it? To turn things, grind things.
Yes, and we derive great power from the core of the earth as well. Core of the planet as well.
Isn't it rather far down?
Branimir describes, I will not because I don't have the schematics in front of me, how the geothermal power they use works.
Tamilin probably does not understand half of it, but is listening intently and trying to understand half of it.
Do the Eld Groover have geothermal energy as well?
Yes.
Okay.
This is something Steinen is very familiar with.
In that case, Steinen might join in on some of the discussion.
Demelin has the slight glance at Steinen that possibly might convey, oh no, you understand it too.
It is quite possible that Hugh's going to understand it to some degree also. Not because Hugh has any training in mechanical disciplines, but the idea of taking heat energy from one place and moving it somewhere else might have some crossover to magical energies.
That's true.
But
from one place, put it elsewhere.
But in attempting to show that, yes, he is also understanding it, no one except the party is going to understand what he means by changing the color of apples.
Details.
Indeed. At one point, I was about to say round a corner, but that's not quite right.
We corner around.
Yes. You enter a crossroads and Felton raises his hand and waves to you and starts jogging over. Oh.
Hi.
You must be the guild representatives?
That's us.
Yes, I'm Glyndir. I sort of oversee things here.
Ah, a pleasure to meet you.
And you. Don't you have some paperwork to be doing? I think I finished all my paperwork, but I guess I should go check if you say so. Pleasure to meet you. And Glyndir runs off. The Felta insist on having an overseer. He does not meddle too much, but it is a tragedy that they still do not trust us.
Why wouldn't they?
They are protective of their land. I suppose perhaps I understand. After everything that has happened with invasions and people trying to settle to the north, people crossing the sea to settle, people who think that just because a land does not currently have people on it, that means it's available. I seem to have forgotten that we were asked to investigate this place. We have a charter and everything. Anyway, this is not our intent is not to colonize, but
we are investigating things.
Indeed. So, speaking of investigating, I suppose you would like to see the thing you have come to see, unless you would like to spend the day getting settled, and then we can talk in the morning.
I'd be happy to see the thing that we've come to see.
Very well.
Perfectly curious.
He leads you over to the blockade. It is it covers the side of the, like, it goes up to the edge of the depression. It is built of wood and metal, and it's about as makeshift as you get, but it's stable.
No, the stable's where we left Mildred.
That too. There is a door, and you have judged its size about right. You're going to have to duck to go through it. The Giona have no problem. The Felton has no problem. Humans and Sari might have a problem. Steinen, actually, you probably could go through.
Oh, good.
I'm flexible. I figure that, just sort of drop down. It would not be the first time I have gone down on my belly like, a snake.
Fair.
I rolled a speed roll and got a 19. I prefer to not do any damage, but also I managed to duck. I rolled because the player recalls a particular joist in the basement of the home he grew up in.
Yes. Well, you have distracted the blockade. Branimir fiddles with it's the same kind of lock that are on the doors and the dwellings, but more complicated.
Fancy combo lock.
Yes. And it is set into the wall, as are the ones in the dwellings. But I just wanted to clarify that. And pops the door open. You go through without incident.
Yeah.
And Branimir, you will need light.
Do you have lanterns? I can provide them, but...
Up a lantern.
Sorry?
Is Tamilin's lantern small enough that she can just carry it around, or did she leave it back at the with her gear, rest of her major gear?
Yeah, it's small enough you can carry it around.
She will pop out her lantern.
Okay.
Dynan now has translucent glowing blue armor over her armor.
Fair enough.
I can see it now. They say, oh, you're going to need light. Do you have a lantern? And Dynan says, I don't need one.
Dynan did not draw her sword.
Although Io is drawing elves.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I'm sorry. Mer.
Mer?
No
cats.
No, that's a different species.
Branimir will hand a lantern to Hugh if he wants one.
And Hugh will gladly accept a lantern. Otherwise, okay. He would have been pulling out a torch.
And he leads you down. There is a downward leading path that you realize after a few steps is a staircase. It isn't a staircase when you get onto it. It's like a dirt ramp. And then the dirt sort of gradually dissipates and you're walking on stairs.
Thank you for continuing to clarify, because otherwise, when you realize it's a staircase after a few steps, you're usually going downstairs faster than you originally intended.
It's it stares down from the surface that have been sedimented over, but they reassert themselves as stairs after 10 feet or so. Branimir leads you down into a fairly large room. And you're at this point about 30 or 40 feet underground. And the room is, well, okay. I really want to describe this in character, but I am going to do such a terrible job of doing that. And you are going to take away exactly the wrong impression. This is a subway station.
Mm-hmm.
You can see a couple ancient abandoned train cars on rails that are surprisingly still there. Off to one, like there are benches that are actually, it's hard to tell whether they're bolted to the ground or just built into the ground. And a couple of rooms. It looks like this place used to be bigger, like quite a bit bigger.
There's the skeletal remains of a busker over there.
Yeah. Still twirling his umbrella. And this place used to be quite a bit bigger. But as you look around, you realize that you don't need to be told where the depression in the earth that the village is built in came from. Quite a bit of this place has collapsed. You also hear the sound of running water.
Huh.
And now I think I know why it collapsed.
The underground tunnel system stopped being strong enough to support what was above it. The magic was holding everything up.
I'm not sure it needed to be magic. Can I see the kind of stone that this station was dug into, or did they cover it up?
Really? From the indications that you're getting, like, there are windows on the walls. The impression that you're getting is that this didn't used to be underground.
Oh, huh.
That is also an answer.
What's the forecast for today? Dirt. What?
Yeah.
So umbrella or no, move. The forecast calls you to move.
Yes.
And hastily.
Yeah, there are windows in some of the walls that look out onto dirt. And in fact, several of them have broken and the dirt is spilling in. The remaining train cars are under what looks like it used to be an overhang. And the dirt has collapsed in around the edges of the overhang.
Oh.
Yes. Mold earth, mold earth, mold earth.
1 second, I got this.
Don't change its color.
That's a different ability. And to be honest, I don't think I can... Like, hedge magic does a lot of things, but I don't think it does mold earth. It's mostly prestidigitation and mending rolled into one.
You can make things float.
I can also make things float. I can prepare meals.
Not that we would know anything about that.
Technically, I've been preparing apples into applesauce.
Yes.
But that was also a different ability. Question for the GM. Not that it's relevant right this second because I have a lantern, but would I be able to use hedge magic to create a light source?
I think you probably would.
The magical equivalent of pulling out a lighter and holding it up.
Yeah, kind of like that.
The small kobold protests.
It isn't going to be anything like Beeble's Beetle Charms, but yeah, you could make like a light that you could read by.
Okay. A lantern is probably more effective in the long term, but
yeah,
worth knowing.
And a lantern is more effective in the long run and shines its light farther, but hedge magic doesn't burn out.
Okay. While the others are doing what they're doing, Hugh is going to continue to walk 10 feet, scan, walk 10 feet, scan.
Okay.
Prowling around. Tamilin is just prowling around carefully to see where it's stable, unstable, whether the floor collapsed underneath this or whether this was part of a tunnel network that collapsed everything on top of it. You know.
Okay.
Tynan is trying to do pretty much the same thing. She is trying to basically make sure the area is stable to properly investigate, etc.
Okay.
Oh yeah, Hugh probably should have done that. I'm not retconning anything. He has an inability for patience and willpower. So yeah, he's just walking right over and scanning everything. Little bits of dirt are falling on him. He continues to ignore it.
Actually, when you get closer to some of the pillars, that you can tell that they have been reinforced using, like, the Giona have reinforced them. I'm sorry, the Giona have reinforced the ceiling, and in some places have constructed a ceiling to make sure that it's reinforced. So yeah, you're safe to walk around here. Branimir says, oh yes, this part is very safe. We have made sure of that. However, there is a collapse further on that is less safe. That is the reason that we called you here.
Interesting.
I'll go in order. Hugh, you're getting a lot of dirt. There's like dirt covering desk that got left behind, dirt covering chair that got left behind. There are no skeletons or anything.
That's good.
It seems like probably the same as Iversby, this got abandoned when the railroad stopped working.
This is kind of what I expected the results to be.
Unlike in Iversby, don't seem to be any secret rooms with corpses inside.
Or without corpses, presumably.
Yeah. The secret rooms are more like you can see that there used to be a room there, but it's collapsed. Tamilin, you do see that this is this place is safe to walk around. There's no dirt falling from the ceiling. There's no, like, it doesn't feel unstable to you. It feels confining, but it doesn't feel unstable.
And presumably there's nothing that hasn't already had a rubbing taken of it.
Yeah. the guild knows about this place. They have requested that the Giona send them what they can get from this portion of the station.
Someone's already made the rubbings here.
Yes. Steinan, you get mostly the same thing. You do come to the realization that based on how far you are underground and where they are, the houses are probably built into excavated remains of the train station. And yeah, Crash, that is about what it looks like, except without the lights.
Oh, interesting. You've been repurposing some of this place.
Yes. The rooms are there. We have no problem digging when we need to, so.
Makes sense.
However, we blocked this place off because we don't want after the cave-in, we don't want the children going down into that tunnel.
Yeah. Much more sensible than the last,
Tamilin would like to investigate one of the train cars or whatever she is interpreting these things as.
Okay.
Carriages,
yeah.
The enclosed carriage car.
It has sliding doors, and they're about halfway open. You can wiggle through.
Wiggle, wiggle.
Inside, this looks to have been a passenger car. Lots of benches. It has rows and rows of seats and benches, yeah. It doesn't have any obvious method of propelling itself, so it was probably attached to a locomotive, which has been lost to time. Or perhaps disassembled and used for something else. Hugh, I think we're back up to you.
Okay. With the information that's been gathered, I'm not sure what Hugh would try to do next other than wanting to go to where the cave-in happened.
Okay. Do you have your gear with you?
If we were coming here to see the thing we came here to see, I think Hugh would have taken his whole pack with him, yes.
Okay.
I'm not sure Tamila's quite aware that they were going to see it immediately, so she might actually have left some of her stuff, but mostly the papers with the rubbings. I think she would just carry her bow with her. That's normal. Lantern, normal.
We send several runners to bring back the crates with paper and charcoal so we can make rubbings of everything. We do not do this.
That's the way. Tamilin is probably just going to mention that if they have to record anything that they find, then she'll probably need the papers and charcoals that she dropped off at the place. But otherwise, yeah, she's fine.
Yeah, I know that subway station.
I think that one's from Fallout 3. For the record, dear listeners, yeah, I am finding images of subway stations from the Fallout series because they're subway stations that have had cave-ins. Although in this case, the cave-ins were so they didn't have to render the entire subway station.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of rendering.
That particular station in DC has a really distinctive roof.
It does.
Yeah, if... Tamilin, I'm going to say that you have been allowed to run back and get your stuff.
Slither! Tamilin slither never runs. Nor does she kick the ball. Sorry.
Miette understands.
Hut ball. No. It's a joke from the Star Wars MMO when you play hut ball. Never kick the ball. Huts don't have feet.
Sinon is going to basically ask about the cave-in, if it was caved in when they got here, if there were any incidents before this place was sealed off, that sort of thing.
Brennemir will explain that, yes, it was caved in when they got here, although it, let me put that a different way. They were called here when it caved in. That was about 5 years ago.
Ooh.
And then, so the depression is quite new. And the Felta called the Giona in to investigate the ruins of the train station. The Giona were doing that happily for 5 years until the second cave-in happened. And they decided to blockade it off.
So the whole city we were looking at was built in 5 years.
No, this is an additional depression?
Which city?
The one that we're underneath.
Yes.
That's a lot of work.
Although they were repurposing the rooms they were finding underground. So that made it easier, which meant more time for building giant windmills to power things.
Also, the Giona are very good at building mechanical devices.
I hope they have a good Gosha organization.
Well, Gosha is for the Groover. You're thinking of the Giosha.
If they ever leave the planet's atmosphere, then it would be Space Giosha. I am not going to try that portmanteau. Not tonight.
Okay. So the Giona have been here for a little over 5 years. They closed off the ruins and asked the guild for help when the second cave-in happened, and they've been waiting for you.
Well, we'd best go look at the other cave-in and see what's wrong.
Okay. Brannimir leads you to a section of the wall behind the train cars. He tells you not to worry about the third rail, whatever that means.
Is it unlucky?
Something like that.
Hmm.
And leads you to a hole in the wall. Where it's obviously caved in. And that is the source of the running water. We believe that the builders of this station did not know about this tunnel. The station probably settled down next to it, and then the wall eroded away. But if you follow the water, and I prefer not to go with you, you will find the reason that we prefer the children not to come down here.
Well,
is it a bunch of undead monsters? Hands together.
Oh, we found those too.
That's why I'm asking.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Ancient followers of a long-dead god?
You had better see for yourself.
That's not a no, and that worries me. All right, let's go. Hugh leads the way.
Okay.
Unless somebody pulls him back, Hugh will be leading the way.
Steinen is, as she often is, trying to maybe get out in front of him a little.
Fair enough.
Hugh attempts to get out of the way by moving forward faster.
Tamilin will just have her bow out so that she can shoot over people's shoulders if she needs to.
The idea that Hugh exasperates Steinen on a regular basis in regards to, no, you are not the tank, stop this, warms my cold, dead, musical teaching heart.
The tunnel, there is quite a bit of water coming through, but it's not particularly deep. It's just a very steady flow. And it is tall enough that you can all walk through it without needing to duck or anything. It turns a couple times. I forgot to mention, you came in through sort of like the upper quarter of the tunnel. So you had to go down the cave-in to get to the water.
Slither, slither.
Go ahead.
While we're doing this, Hugh is going to use his Enduring Shield Cipher. So for the next 24 hours, the user has an asset to speed defense rolls. If there is a cave-in, I want to make it easier for me to get out of the way.
Indeed.
Fair.
After a couple minutes of walking and several turns in the tunnel, you start hearing the sound of splashing. It isn't like someone's playing in the water. It sounds more like a waterfall.
That's a good reason to keep the children away.
Are we going upstream?
No, you're going downstream.
I'm going to need another asset to speed defense rolls.
Why? Are you planning to go over the waterfall?
I'm planning to not go over the waterfall, which is why I need more than one asset in speed defense rolls.
I can tie a rope around your waist.
I could probably just far step back up to the top if I react fast enough. But that requires me to have an asset to speed defense rolls.
At long last, you reach the end of the tunnel. The floor actually extends out a little bit and looks like it's been carved long, long ago. It is eroded quite a bit. And the tunnel opens up into the hugest cavern you have ever seen. Lanterns do not, and the glow from Steinen's armor do not come anywhere near to illuminating the whole thing. And if you look up, sorry, I had a flight attendant moment.
If you look up, you will see the roof of the cabin, because we don't put windows there. But I made you look.
If you're sitting on the right of the plane, you can look out your window to see the northern lights. On the left of the plane, please enjoy this sight of a Home Depot parking lot. There are organic-looking buildings built into the side of the cavern, and it slopes. So this cavern is like a bowl, as far as you can tell. It might be different outside the light, but it slopes down more and more shallowly. And above you, maybe 20 or 30 feet, it turns into a ceiling that arcs over. There are, like I said, organic looking buildings all around you. And the water is flowing over the edge of the end of the tunnel through this carved channel and into a cistern down below. And we've been playing for about an hour. So why don't we take a break?
And many rubbings, yes.
The urge for Hugh to yell echo as loud as he can is very strong. Will he resist? Find out after the break. With that said, should I press the button?
Yes, I'm ready to get started.
Okay, yeah. I have pressed the button.
All right, we are back from our 15-minute break, and you are standing at the exit to an underground. Oh, it's not so much a river anymore, but it pours down into a cistern below, and all around you are buildings built into the side of a massive cave. Did I post reference of images?
Yes, you did.
Remember. Yes, I did. I will copy the message link so that people can go back and see them. Not you, listeners. You're just going to have to make do with your imagination.
Imagine, if you will, the cliff dwellers from, I forget where they were found, but like Pueblo era civilization. And we call them, they didn't call themselves the cliff dwellers. We don't know what they call themselves. But combine that with termite mounds.
Yeah, that's pretty much the impression you should be getting. And there are, in fact, tall pillar-like termite mound buildings rising up from deeper into the cave. Although, as it's quite dark and you only have your lanterns. Sorry, I'm distracted by you wandering around the map.
I have learned that I can go underneath the rules.
Ah, yes. As you only have your lanterns to light the cavern, you're only seeing a little bit of it. It does not appear to be inhabited.
With you...
In fact...
Please continue.
And in fact, the walls near you are blackened.
Oh. Are there loose pebbles anywhere?
You can probably find a pebble that's washed up on the side of the stream, yeah.
Okay. With you saying it does not appear to be inhabited, and the ruling that you made previously where I can use hedge magic to create a light source...
Yes.
Perhaps temporarily, definitely temporarily. I would like to have Hugh do the equivalent of casting light on a stone and then throwing it.
Okay. The stone arcs out over the side of the cavern and starts descending. As it does, you can see where you can see the path that it takes down. It passes by alongside one of the buildings and down into what looks like a street. A very rough, like... You would think they were cobbles if they weren't so big. But yeah, the pebble is lit down there. It's not like maybe 50, 75 feet down.
Oh, that's nothing. I can far step to that.
Yeah, it's not a terribly huge drop. The rest of you may need some ropes. Mm. But
Hugh is holding back on far stepping everywhere because there are other members of the party.
Yes.
But he really wants to far step everywhere.
There's also, if you look up, there is immediately above you what looks like a walkway.
How high up?
It's this stream cavern is just tall enough for you to not have to duck when you walk through it. So the walkway is another foot and a half up.
Okay.
Call it 7 feet from where your feet are, maybe 8.
So where do we go first?
That is an interesting question. How damaged? Does it look like things are falling down in here?
Not really. I put a different way. It looks like anything that might have fallen down has fallen down.
There's a sign here. What does it say? London Bridge. What's that?
We should probably investigate what... won't fall down on top of everything else first and work our way up.
Okay, I'm going to get my pebble. I far step to the pebble.
Okay. Your feet go crunch.
Ouch!
Not painfully, just what looked like very large cobbles are surprisingly fragile.
You're stepping on eggshells!
No, they don't look like eggshells. They're broad and flat and...
crunchy.
Yeah, they go crunch when you step on them. Like your foot just goes through them.
What's below them?
And there's ground, dust.
Okay.
The dust of ages.
Are they everywhere or are there spots where they're not on the ground?
There are spots where there are clear spots. The thing that you stepped on is, in the light of the pebble, kind of shiny when you move it. When you move the pebble, that is.
I'd like to start scanning things, but let's see what everyone else is doing before I find out what I find out.
Getting out the ropes. Looking for a place to tie them.
There's a spot down here you could tie them.
Making the expressionate hue.
Delka will have pitons that you can pound into the sides of the cavern to anchor the ropes to.
Okay. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I'll help with that. Sure.
Excellent.
And she gets out one of those things and starts pushing it into the wall.
It doesn't take very long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beth making faces in the chat.
The face. Mm-hmm. Head down the rope first once it's been properly secured on the grounds that I have some climbing ability. If the rope drops me down, I can probably climb up again.
Okay. I'm not going to make you roll. The rope is stable. Uh-huh. There's nothing particularly interesting to be gained by you falling.
Bruises.
Yeah. Everybody can get down the rope, okay?
Okay.
This is...
Oh, good.
This is not a difficult climb. In fact, if you really wanted to, you could climb up to the walkway above you and then just, like, you could take a series of switchbacks down and not bother with the rope. But whatever you want to do.
It's always good to have a rope around, just in case the switchbacks have an unexpected pit or something.
That's true.
We do not like unexpectedly falling through the floor. It's undignified. Very undignified.
I don't like falling through the floor when it's expected either, to be honest.
As you pass by the cistern, you notice that it goes into... There's an outlet that goes into the wall, into a building, and doesn't seem to come out again. And that's where the water is going. Looks like there might have been a mechanism at one point to limit the flow of the water, but that's long gone. Once you are all down on the floor, yes, as you go past the cistern, a large mechanical monster crawls out of it, realizes it's in the wrong game, and backs back down. Yeah, you get down to the floor, and these objects that Hugh went through are strewn about, but there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to them.
Can one pick them up carefully?
I'm sorry?
Can they be picked up carefully?
Yeah, they are about, I want to say, 4 feet by 3 feet. They're concave, and they're shiny. They have, what's the word I'm looking for?
Iridescence? Mother of pearl?
They are iridescent, but they have, what is the word I'm looking for? They have ridges along the back, going long way along them from top to bottom.
They're giant Ruffles potato chips.
But they're smooth on one side.
They're a Ruffles Pringles hybrid.
Yeah, it's more washboard than not smooth.
I look for
mirrors to bring the light in. Either that, or perhaps I am not wrong, and they are some giant eggshell from some immense egg.
That would be something.
From above you, a baby dragon roars. No, we've done that one. Hugh, you were going to use scan.
Yes.
Are you still using scan?
I am using scan until something happens where I should stop using scan. Otherwise,
okay.
Scan, move 10 feet, apologize for breaking something. Scan, move 10 feet, apologize for breaking something.
Right, because you can do that. The walls are, you would describe the walls as stone and mud daub. The things on the ground, what you're getting back it's chitin, but what you're getting back is fingernails.
I've been stepping on fingernails this whole time.
Shiny ones.
And you picked up a giant fingernail there.
Tamilin shrugs. It's just something someone shed then.
Yeah, but look at the size of it.
I should be clear.
Fingernail.
But what scan is giving you is not that they are fingernails. That's the closest equivalent you can come up with.
Yes. Hmm. The player understands, and Hugh understands also. But this is the metaphor you have used. So this is the metaphor that Hugh is going to go with.
Fair enough. I'm just making sure we're all on the same page.
Yes.
Fingernail, what kind of hand?
Well, it might not actually be a fingernail. I mean, it could be like a beetle shell or something like that. But it's like the same stuff that makes fingernails is that.
Okay. So what you're saying is it came off a living critter, not that it came off a giant hand.
I mean, it could have come off a giant hand, but yeah.
I hope it didn't come off a giant hand.
That might be better than all of these things coming off a bunch of giant beetles. I don't think a giant hand could fit in here.
Yeah, I can find a giant beetle.
But look at the number of them. It wouldn't be a giant beetle.
I could fight a lot of giant beetles.
I would like to not.
I don't think I can fight one giant.
Yes, but we might be able to reason with whatever the giant hand was attached to.
I love that we are bantering on whether or not it's a giant hand or a bunch of beetles. while Ellie is over there staying perfectly silent about what it actually is and crossing out that idea and writing giant beetles.
Can we put the pieces together at all? Or mentally?
They don't seem to fit together. They're not. In fact, most of them are. Many of them are whole. Like they don't seem to. They don't seem to be in pieces. They seem to be.
The edges of them look like they're supposed to be the edge.
Yeah.
Perhaps someone else killed the beetles or giant hand and brought these here.
Below the fingernails, it is a fairly smooth street. Along it are what look like they're probably lamps. They are long since, whatever allowed them to be lit is long since gone. But they are poles with sort of a translucent shell at the top. And these, instead of, they have the same kind of washboard appearance, but the ridges are going around rather than up and down.
I scan the lampposts, but please finish.
Okay. There is the same blackening is on the buildings. In fact, the buildings down here are more blackened than the ones up above. The lamppost is, again, stone and mud daub. There's a pipe of some kind or a hollow in the middle that running up to the top of the lamp, but there doesn't seem to be anything in it.
I scan down.
Okay. As far down as you can scan, there is a network of these pipes.
I think whatever lit the lamps was piped up from underground, more underground than we already are. We're already underground, but you know what I mean.
Under where we are, yes.
There's a pipe in here, and it goes down, and there's more pipes down there. So maybe they pushed lamp oil through the pipes,
or it wicked up,
and maybe everything's blackened because too much lamp oil came through and there was a fire.
Oh, that makes sense.
These are shiny beetle wings or whatever.
Some things get shinier when you heat them up, but
I'm wondering if they might have used shiny things to make the light more bright.
I don't think these are fingernails. And I don't think they were shed.
You think they were made?
No. I think I was right. They were grown. I don't think they were shed. Everything here is covered in black stuff. Everything here is covered in soot. There was a fire or an explosion. I think these are corpses.
Ah, this is all that's great. Left of the people?
I hope I'm wrong, but yeah, maybe there was some type of earthquake or something and all their lamp oil just flowed out and...
Or the magic changed.
It could have been magic, but you don't need pipes for magic. And lamps burn things. This could have all been an industrial accident. I think that's the wrong word.
You're saying does echo a little bit.
I didn't get a good sense of the shapes of all of our potential corpses.
They're, let me double check because I am hoping that I didn't mislead you. I'm going to paste these. These basically look like the wing covers of Japanese beetles or rhinoceros beetles.
This is matching my mental image.
Same. If you think these are the remnants of the people who were here, and yet, why would these survive and not the rest of them?
Well, a lot of bugs are crunchy on the outside, but all the gooey bits are on the inside. Those parts would get burned away.
But shouldn't there be bits of leg?
They're thinner. Might not have been resilient enough. Like when I try to change the color of an apple nowadays and it explodes, you usually can't find the stem at all.
Delka wants to go take a look at these beetles.
Okay. Well, the wing covers anyway.
Yeah, that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're lying all around. You can just grab one.
Yeah.
I was really hoping that these were their wildlife and not them.
It's possible these were wildlife. We should probably check and see where they lie, if there are any inside the rooms.
For all we know, these were their equivalent of ox.
Precisely. Hmm.
Anyway, I'm going to go inside one of the rooms.
Okay.
Okay.
Tamilin is busy sketching where things lie.
It's okay. We can come back to Hugh after everyone else does a thing, but Hugh is wandering off.
Okay.
Delka, you have a beetle shell. Is there something you want to do with it or just examine it?
I think I'm just going to examine it.
Okay.
Yeah, and just kind of see, like, what does this one look like compared to the other kinds that seem to be in that area?
They all look like
dead. Yeah. Yeah. So I'll just put it back down, you know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. More I'd wait, thus not like us, but Steinen gestures to herself and us during that real long ago war.
Mm. Well, not direct attack, though. Possibly worse.
Yeah. Mm. Let's look around some more.
Yes, be careful not to step on the things.
I'm being careful.
Mm. Tamilin is sketching things and then carefully moving things out of the way gently so that we can move around without stepping on them.
Yeah. You're going to have a hard time of this because you're in contact with the ground, so you're going to have to shove them out of the way.
Yep. Slither over, pick them up, slide, set them gently to the side. Slither, slither, set something to the side. Slither, slither.
Okay. Hugh, inside the building, you find some more shells and a ramp going up the inside. It spirals up the outside of the building. It spirals up the outside wall of the building on the inside. Inside there's some rough furniture made of the same kind of mud daubing. But, like, you're not even really sure it's furniture. It's more like you could use it as furniture if you wanted to.
After discovering he was walking on corpses, Hugh is not going to attempt to sit on the furniture. But he is going to go up that ramp.
Okay.
Because no one's here to stop him and tell him he should wait for everyone else. And if they were, he would probably go forward anyway, but that's besides the point.
The floors of this building are all fairly open as far as the ramp is concerned. Like, it just keeps spiraling up, and you can step off when you get to the floor, or you could climb up from the stairs, from the ramp, or jump down from the ramp. Like, there's no wall separating the ramp from the rest of the room. On the second floor are fewer shells, like one or two, and it looks less damaged here, but it's still like this is clearly ancient.
Hugh finds the gift shop and purchases a Welcome to Silithus t-shirt.
Yes. What's everybody else doing?
I am also going to head in. I want to look around more. I am going to look around more.
Okay. Tamilin, Delka?
I think Delka's going to pick up one of these bugs, just kind of carry it around to see if it's like a bug that's different from the other ones or that kind of thing.
Okay.
So she'll just walk around with it. They're probably dead.
How big are they? It's just the wing, the carapace covers. It's not the whole bug.
Oh, okay. Well, something like that.
And how big are they? I was distracted.
They're about 4 feet by 3 feet.
Big bug people.
Big bugs. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Or possibly big bug oxen. It's not clear.
Okay.
Nevertheless, we should probably treat them like people so we don't get ghosts or something.
Interesting. All right. She's going to put the bug down.
Gently keep sliding things aside until, try not to damage anything. If there's some damaged bit that has flaked off, then, stick it in like a sample box or something gently and wrap it up for taking out of the place again.
Okay.
But don't break one in order to get it.
Sure.
I mean, you can go to where Hugh first far stepped down and went crunch.
That's quite possible.
Okay. Steinen, you catch up with Hugh as Hugh continues to ascend the ramp, I guess?
It's easy to do because I'm going 10 feet and scanning.
Yeah.
And okay, so that's Waddle and Dob. Okay, that's Waddle and Dob. And nope, that's Waddle and Dob. Hey, this part's interesting. It's It's Daub. Anyway, I'm going to keep going.
It's old Daub, isn't it?
Yes. I believe that's what Elias told us.
Termite people.
It's not even wattle. Wattle is the reed and stick stuff on the inside that you put the mud against.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually interesting that the structure is this tall without any kind of lattice work to support it.
The walls may be very thick.
Even so.
They're pretty thick, but...
Hugh may or may not be thinking about this, but I know that mud and clay shrink a lot when they dry, and that cracks it. So for it to go up this high, it would have had to been done with a lot of planning and foresight into how the building materials react.
Sure. The third floor is much the same as the second. There are no shells up here, but the fourth floor actually has a door.
Doorway.
It's the same.
Doorway or door?
It's a door.
Okay.
It's like you can get in. It's not locked or anything, but
what's it made of?
It's the same stone and daub as the rest of the building.
Okay, but it's an actual door that can be opened and closed. It's not just a doorway.
Yeah.
Huh.
In fact, the wall behind it seems built especially to accommodate the door, because otherwise the walls are sort of sloping inward.
Hugh will look over at Steinan and say, "Is this the part where you tell me that you need to go first?"
"Usually."
"Okay," and I go through
first.
"Is that
okay with you?"
Hugh is a horrible goose who's going to get hurt one of these days. But yeah, as you're saying, "Is that okay with you?" Hugh goes through the door.
Oh, no. Okay.
Murder.
That might take place.
Simon claps a hand over her face and then follows. Okay, I should have been a little more clear. What I meant was, is there a reason you need to go in first?
Because I want to see what's going on. I mean, when we first got in here, it was neat. And, you know, the corpses down there are creepy. But this is...
You.
Yeah.
Have you noticed how tall I'm not? You can see over my head.
Okay.
So I can go in and you can still see stuff, right? Right?
Okay, but you were just standing out here, so I went in. The 10,000-year-old witch is just sitting there in their throne and watching us banter back and forth, not noticing them.
Sitting there with its mouth open and its finger up like...
Excuse me, excuse me.
I don't want to interrupt.
No, please, by all means, continue.
Oh, that lich voice sounds so awesome, but I imagine you would not be able to keep that up.
Probably not for very long.
My throat hurts a little bit more from hearing it.
Sir, what was that, Eo?
I said that you were so good at voices.
Oh, thank you. Anyway, no, there's not a 1,000-year-old lich in here. But this room does seem to be more or less untouched by what happened below. Although there isn't a shell in here. There's a table and a chair. The chair has a rounded, like it's, how to describe this?
It's designed for a curved anatomy.
Yes. But otherwise, this is recognizably a table and chair. There's a bed over to one side. The actual bedding has long since rotted away, but the structure of the bed is there. And there are some papers and objects on the table. Hmm. Yes, the chair is for beetle butts.
Aww.
Interesting.
After Hugh scans everything, or while Hugh is scanning everything, he's going to say, "We should probably pack this up so that somebody can make rubbings of all of it."
"I can't make rubbings," calling from the bottom, "of things if they're paper."
Who said it was paper?
Let's take a look.
Simon can probably get a first dibs at looking at the papers because he was distracted by scanning things first.
That's fair. The furniture is actually really sturdy wood. Tamilin, are you up here?
Tamilin is slithering on up and is going to be slithering faster once she doesn't have to keep gently moving probable corpses out of the way.
Fair enough. Tamilin, when you get to the top, you will recognize the wood as coming from your culture.
Ah.
It is from the southern jungles of the western continent and is renowned for being sturdy and long-lasting.
Tamilan, we'll tell people this.
The papers on the desk look like they're probably made of the same kind of wood, but it's not the kind of paper that you're used to.
Hmm.
It's like, all right, your characters aren't going to know this, but it's like it's been, the wood has been chewed very thoroughly and then laid out flat.
Mm.
So it's, you know, it's the kind of paper that like a paper wasp would use.
That makes sense.
I would imagine that our contemporary culture for these adventures would still have a lot of cloth-based paper use.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a beetle civilization, if they're not making fabrics, chewing up the wood pulp and spitting it out like a paper wasp, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
What's on the paper?
It's writing that none of you recognize. It is obviously writing. There is no mistaking this for anything else. But it is an alphabet. If it's an alphabet, it's an alphabet that none of you has ever seen.
For want of an AOL CD. That's a reference that only longtime listeners will understand.
Oh, yes.
Well, let's try and copy it down, yeah. And, of course, we should probably be taking some of it if it's not too fragile to move.
It doesn't seem to be. It's, like, if you pick a piece of this paper up, it holds steady in your hand.
It seems perfectly durable. You give it a shake, it turns to dust immediately.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Tamilan would murder you. Just gently. A little bit.
He was busy scanning Dylan everything.
A little bit of murder as a treat.
As a treat.
Why are you all looking at me?
Reasons.
So
Milan translates the page that's on the page that's being left on the table. I have discovered truly marvelous proof, which I have recorded on the page that Hugh just destroyed.
Oh no.
Murder.
We all know the answer to life, the universe, and everything is 42. But I have discovered the question, which is how?
Pretty much.
I didn't hear anything after how.
No, that's the joke.
Exactly.
It continues on the next page that Hugh destroyed.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it.
And this is why everyone is very cautious and careful when doing the, basically, archaeology. Yes.
Yes. The writing is spindly, like the character, and this might just be the person's handwriting, but it's spindly, and for lack of a better word, it's got a lot of serifs. The letters, the arms and legs of the letters branch a bunch.
It's going to be absolute heck to try to transcribe any of.
Yes, but it does seem stable. You can pick it up and put it in an envelope and take it home. There are also several objects on the desk, most notably a pair of glasses.
With thousands of little lenses all put together. One for each part of the compound eye. No.
Unless whoever was here wasn't a bug.
Mm-mm.
The glasses are concave. It is a pair of lenses that are attached together. But the lenses are, like, if you had compound eyes, they would fit over those. And if you look through them, they do have individual little faces.
Ha.
Into the glass.
Hugh will put them on.
Okay. It is quite alarming to look through them.
Why does my character sheet say cursed item acquired? Hugh will take them off and hand them over. They're kind of neat. I don't think I'd want to wear them for very long, but...
Tamilan will try them on too, probably just for curiosity.
They are alarming.
Now, when you say these are glasses... So we have two sets of lenses with I'm assuming a wire connecting them?
Yes.
Do they have pieces that stick out on the sides?
There is a strap that would probably go around the back of the head.
Okay.
It's made of a material you don't recognize.
Hugh would have been somewhat alarmed if it looked like it was designed to have pieces go behind someone's ears. And then would have been imagining beetles with ears. Beetles with very
giant
human ears.
Eared beetles.
One of the other objects on the, well, two of the other objects, actually, are what look like a fairly standard inkwell and brush.
Hmm.
Or I should say an inkwell and a pen.
He's going to scan the ink, which I assume is long since dried up.
It is long since dried up. And it is, I mean, it's basically India ink, but it is a different formulation than what than the other inks that Hugh is used to. It actually contains quite a bit of ground up beetle shell.
Huh. So I'm trying to. All right. So imagine if we used our fingernails to make the ink that we use to write things.
Well, that's already a disturbing train of thought.
Yes. And I will not carry this burden alone.
Why is it a burden? It's not like you're attached to them anymore.
Well, for some cultures, it's considered weird to recycle our leavings in that way. Composting, maybe. And even then, only some parts.
Presumably the parts that won't cause problems in the compost pile.
Which, the more you research things, the more often that can happen. I read a book once, and then I didn't read any more in that genre. Anyway, I'm going to put this inkwell down and try not to think about that anymore.
If they're beetles, perhaps they shed their skins. Or the beetle equivalent.
And I've heard some people make paintbrushes out of their hair after they get a haircut, but still.
And as this discussion continues and you pack up the things that were on the desk, we're going to bring it to a close, unless anybody's got anything they want to add.
I'm going to far step over to the next building over there.
Yeah, that's probably what we're going to be doing the next time.
Yeah, probably.
You hear Hugh saying, I'm going to far step to that next building over there. Oh, hey, guys, there's anything over here that you should really come and see. It's right over here. It looks like it's a bunch of papers. And I think that one turned to dust.
I will put a leash on you.
Hugh far steps out of the leash.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, everyone, for playing. Tonight, I've been joined by Beth, Crash, EO, and Jen. Does anybody have anything they'd like to plug?
I've been working on my blog to add some things that I color, mostly, you know.
Nice.
Yeah, it's bookofjen.net. I nuked the previous one because all of the stuff that I had on there was like really old. I'm like, no, I'm going to start over. So that's how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of books.
EO's mom writes books at elizabethmccoy.com. I mean, that's not where I write the books, but that's where you can get like a list of books you could, you know, buy at legitimate ebook sellers and ask your library to get them and that kind of thing. And it's pretty cool. You can ask your library to buy an ebook for you so you can read it. Because I did that for another author's stuff. It's like, yes, it worked. I got to read a book for free. And the author got paid. And speaking of cool things,
it's not Halloween. But speaking of cool things, well, we're recording this in December, and I've got a 2-hour delay in the morning because of sub-zero wind chill. So, yay! That's a cool thing, even a cold thing.
That's gone beyond cool.
But if you're going for the other definition, we put all these podcasts over on aaronbsmith.com, where you can find the ad-free versions, and if you want them faster than the 2 episodes per week schedule that I'm doing, you can get them at patreon.com/cogwheelgaming, where you can help us keep the lights on and get them when I upload them. Again, we're recording this in December, and you can tell when this came out. That's the gap. And usually when I have some time off, like winter break coming up for us, for me specifically, I've got a bunch of days where I'll be editing 1 or 2 a day to get them all up there. And also, when you go to patreon.com/cogwheelgaming and support us, you'll be joining other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Liv, Paul, Shanshan, Walter, and patron emeritus Cindy.
And until next time, this is Ellie saying,
actually, I'm in the next building.
Good night, everybody.
And now you all have an asset in making ink out of unusual resources.
I think I'd rather have an asset.
Very useful.
I thought I'd rather have
an asset for digging up old things. That way I can drag. Yeah, and then I can drag old Rob to throw him in the river because I dug him up.
Just don't turn me into ink.
No, but after you finish washing everything, the water will be like ink, and it won't be my fault.
We just spent half an episode bantering, and now we're going to banter again.
Yeah.
I'm okay with this.
I'm just saying, if I could turn my horn sheddings into ink, that would be very helpful.
Both question is, would it keep find the color? Out. Good night.
Good night. All right. This was fun. I'm going to go eat something now.
Yes, food is good. Take care.
QXP for everybody.